Matthew chapter 19. We'll be reading verses 16 through 22. Title this message this afternoon, Almost Right, Completely Wrong. Almost Right, Completely Wrong. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, and when he came to Jesus, he was 80% right, but he was 100% wrong. He was on the right trail, but he had taken the wrong road. He had everything natural that a person could possibly want. He had money. He had a good job. Had a good wife. Drove a GMC Denali pickup. Had a swimming pool in his backyard. Had the respect of the community. You get the picture. He had everything a man could possibly want on this earth. But yet he was wrong in his relationship with Christ. Let's read the scripture, chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Jesus said to him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt not do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Father, today, once again, Lord, we ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see what you're saying to us. Help us, Lord, to receive it. In Christ's name, amen. So, this young man was right in the concern that he expressed. He asked Jesus in verse 16, What good things shall I do that I might have eternal life? And everybody here, I suppose, would like to have eternal life, wouldn't you? How many here want to go to hell? Raise your hand. Oh, I got one right there. Got one ready to go. Nobody in this room wants to go to hell. But everybody here would like to have eternal life and go to heaven, right? Every single one of us want to go to heaven, and this young man was no different than the rest of us. But he had some things and some wrong thinking going on in his life, and he was equating blessings of God with riches. And he was equating the blessing of God with accumulation, things that he could get on this earth. Well, it's not always that way. It's not always that way. John 6:27 says this, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that hath God the Father sealed. And Jesus said unto them in verse 35 in the same chapter, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And so we need to understand that the most important thing that you and I need in this life is Jesus. Is eternal life that comes through Jesus. We need the bread of life. We need to drink the living water. Wash that bread of life down with the living water, okay? When I eat anything, I like to have something to drink with it. I like to wash my food down. Maybe that's because I'm lazy and don't want to chew it all up, so I just wash it down. But I like to have a refreshing drink with my food. Some of you like sweet tea. I mean extra sweet tea. So sweet you can't stir it. A straw will stand up in the sugar that settles in the bottom. But you like sweet tea. You like it with your meals. This young man said, I've done all these things from my youth. I mean, I'm a good guy. Jesus said, you lack some things. And so he was right to express his concern and want to know what it would take to go to heaven, but he was wrong in his theology. He thought that all those things would equate with the blessings of God, but yet he still came to Jesus and said, what do I need to do? Jesus said, this is what you need to do. And so he told him, so he was right in his concern. And if you're concerned today about your salvation, you're right to be concerned about your salvation. If you're not a Christian today, today's the day. If you're marginal today and you're not sure you're really a Christian, or you think that your works or the things you're doing is what it's going to take to get you to heaven, well, today's the day to make your calling and your election sure. Today's the day to make things right with God through Jesus Christ. So he was good. It was good that he was concerned. Secondly, he was right in the person that he approached. The Bible says in Mark 10:17, he came running to Jesus. He came running to Jesus. He didn't timidly approach him. He came running to him. Instead, he come running and kneeled to him in that particular passage of scripture. So he came running and he kneeled at his feet and he said, what do I need to do? Well, he was approaching the right person. He needed to be saved. He needed to make things right with God. And so he approached the very person that could tell him, teach him, show him the way. Actually, he approached the way. For Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. And so he approached the right person. Perhaps he had heard about Jesus. Perhaps he had been standing back and listening to his sermons. Maybe he was there when Zacchaeus came down out of the tree. Maybe he was one of those invited to the banquet. Maybe he knew a lot about Jesus, but yet he had a lot that he was holding on to and was afraid to turn it loose. Or afraid that if he did let go and let God really come into his life, he would lose it all. But God doesn't work that way. If you're a wealthy person, you get saved, you're more likely than not going to remain wealthy. Serious. If you're poor when you get saved, unless you're doing something to correct that situation, you're probably going to remain poor. But you can still rely upon the scripture, but my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, because I'm approaching the right person. He approached the right person. 2 Timothy 1 chapter verses 9 and 10 says, who hath saved us, speaking of Jesus, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. That death is spiritual death as well as physical death at the end of your lifetime, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He approached the right person. He approached the very one that could save him. I believe he had an idea that this might work, but he didn't know what Jesus might ask of him to be saved. And that's where he run into his problem. He's 80% right, because he expressed the right concern and he approached the right person, the very person that could save him and give him eternal life. He approached the right person. 1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God is coming and hath given us understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus is the only one that can give you eternal life. Your money, your fame, your fortune can't buy eternal life. Being a good person and be full of good works won't buy you eternal life. Marrying the right person and having prestige in this life will not get you eternal life. Being elected president of the United States will not guarantee you eternal life. The fact is, it'll probably guarantee you a life of hell on earth. Well, right now our president is experiencing rough times. But being president doesn't exempt him from needing eternal life. Being a good man and saying the right thing about Israel doesn't give him and guarantee him eternal life. So you can do the right thing and be 80% wrong, because you must have Jesus. So he was approached the right person, and he asked the right question. Number three, he asked the right question. Matthew 19:16 says, what good thing must I do that I may have eternal life? I don't know if he's expecting Jesus to say, well, I want you to do 10 Hail Marys, or I want you to go down and to the down to the soup kitchen and I want you to serve there for about 6 months. I want you to take $1 million that you have in your bank account and I want you to give it to give it some missions program somewhere, or maybe he might ask him just to give $100 to Countryside. What good thing must I do? You know how sometimes, well, if I give to the church or if I do this or I do that, then I want to have eternal life. No, it doesn't work that way. You can't buy it. You can't work your way in. He was asked good in the question he asked, what do I do to have eternal life? In Acts 16, verse 30, we spoke on this a little bit last week, but the Philippian jailer, after the great earthquake had opened all the doors of the prison and loosened all the bands off their hands and feet, the jailer said to Peter and John, Paul and Silas. He said, what must I do to be saved? Same question this young man asked. Basically, what do I need to do to be saved? Same question. Different result. Same question. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. In other words, man, if you'll man up and become a man of God, your family's going to see it, and they'll get saved. Oh, that's a whole other sermon right there, isn't it? But he asked the most important question anyone can ask, and the answer was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a focus on your faith and commitment. It takes faith. For by grace you are saved through faith. Through faith, Ephesians says, I believe the second chapter, early in that chapter. By faith you're saved. It's by grace of God that you're saved. Jesus was telling this young man, I want you to do this and you'll be saved by faith and by my grace because of my God's, my Father's mercy. I'll save you. You got to do these things. But what must I do? Well, repent. Just simply repent. You don't have to give away all your money. You don't have to go serve in a soup kitchen. You don't have to attend the church 30 days prior to being considered a Christian. You just have to repent. Be reconciled with God through repentance. That's all it takes, be the blood of Jesus. Oh, the precious blood. That's what we need today. So to believe on Jesus is the focus of our faith and our commitment. We must believe in Him. It means turning to Him as the living person who becomes our Redeemer from sin, our Savior from damnation, and the Lord of our lives. And may I just stop right there for a minute? He can't be, as I said this morning, just your Savior. He must be your Lord. And as many people want Him as Savior, they want to save from their sin, but they don't want to serve Him. Well, I found out if I love Him, I want to serve Him. I want to do what I can for Him. And when I don't do what I know I should do, or I fail to what I consider measurement, maybe God sees it in a different light, I feel a little bit sad. I feel grieved in my spirit because I don't think I measured up. Why is it? Because I love Him and He's my Savior and He's become my Lord. And you say, well, you sound like this. He's my master. And He's not a cruel taskmaster. He doesn't beat me. He doesn't slap me around. He doesn't cut my groceries off. He doesn't do bad things to me to get me to serve Him. I serve Him because He loved me and gave His life for me. And so I want to in turn give my life for Him. This young man had it 80% right. He went to the right person. He had the right concern. He went to the right person. He asked the right question. And he received the right answer, the right information. He received the right information. He was told by Jesus all he would need to do to have eternal life. All you need to do, if you want to be saved, here's what I want you to do. Go sell what you got, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. So that was asking an awful lot, wasn't it, Pastor? Well, in a way, it might seem like Jesus was asking everything. But I'll tell you what Jesus was wanting. He was wanting commitment. He was wanting him to say, yes, I'll do it. You know what I think Jesus would have said? Never mind. You don't have to do that to serve me. You don't have to do that to prove your love, but repent. Show me that you love me. You want to be a Christian enough to do whatever I asked you. He's looking for commitment. Once you get saved, he wants you to be committed to him. Don't you see that as a flaw in the church today? Salvation without commitment. Salvation without commitment. I don't want to be committed to the Lord. I don't want to be committed to any church. I don't want to be held responsible by anybody. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, where I want to do it, and how I want to do it. Don't tell me what to do. Jesus was saying to this young man, you're going to show some commitment. You must be willing to give all. Jesus gave all. I'm going to tell you something. Wife and I, when we decided to be Christians, we gave it all. What did I give up? I gave up misery. Gave up lonely nights. Nights full of heartache. Life full of heartaches. Well, haven't you had problems since? Why, sure, but I have Jesus. I have my Lord by my side. What's that old song? If it had not been for the Lord who was by my side, where would I be? Oh, where would I be? But I have Christ. So you commit to him. He gave us all for me, and he gives all of heaven at my disposal. He says, I'm seated at the right hand of my Father now, making intercession for you. You can now come boldly to the throne of grace to receive help in your time of need. What more do I need? I can approach God at any time. I can walk boldly. Jesus took the veil of the temple where just one man could go in once a year and offer up that sacrifice for our sins, and he rent it in twain from top to bottom and said, now everyone can come boldly to the throne of grace. This young man could come boldly to the throne of grace. He had the right information. John 5:39 tells us to search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they testify of me. In the New Living Translation, it says it like this in John 5:39. You search the scriptures because you believe they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me so that I can give you eternal life. Every scripture points to Jesus. And Jesus gives eternal life. But people don't want to come through Jesus to receive eternal life oftentimes. They want to do it their way. And that was the problem with the rich young man. I've done all these things that the Bible tells me to do. I've kept all the commandments. And what else do I need to do? Jesus said, come to me. Basically, that's all he's telling him. Sell what you got. Give it to the poor. Come follow me. Wait a minute. How am I going to get by if I give? I mean, he may have been one. He probably already had the architect working on his new home. He probably already had his barns tore down where he's going to build the new one to store his grain. I'm not sure I don't believe he's the man that God said, this night your soul is required of you. But yet he was similar to him in that he had great possessions. He had his life lined out. He was set up for retirement. Jesus said, that's not good enough. If you want eternal life, you must follow me. So he receive the right instruction, the right information, come follow me. Take up your cross, follow me. Sell what you've got, give it to the poor, come follow me. But he was wrong in the decision he made. So he's 80% right because he expressed the right concern, he approached the right person, he asked the right question, he received the right information, but he made the wrong decision. Lastly, he made the wrong decision. The Bible said he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. There's many people who have turned their back on Christ and went the other direction who didn't have great possessions. They didn't have a whole lot to offer God, but yet what they had, they wanted to keep. They wanted to keep their pride. They wanted to keep the girlfriend. They wanted to keep that bottle. They wanted to keep the bad language. They wanted to still go to that place they hadn't ought to go. They still wanted to attend the house of casino worship center. Just couldn't give it up. I still want to go there. I can worship there. Because I pray every time I pull that lever. Help me, Jesus. Had the right attitude, asked all the right questions, went to the right person, but made the wrong decision. He went away sorrowful. Matthew, let's read Matthew, start there in 16, lead 24 through 26. This is what Jesus said. Let me go back to 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. When the disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I don't think Jesus' statement here would mean that all believers should sell everything they own. Because I believe he still expects us to take care of our families and our own. However, we must be willing to give up whatever he asks us to give up and make a commitment with him to him. And he asks nothing less of that from us than a total commitment. A total commitment of our time, our money, all of our resources. This young man didn't want to be saved bad enough to say, Lord, I'll sell it all. I'll come follow you. I'll take up my cross. I'll do whatever it takes to be a Christian. None of this means anything without you. And that should be our attitude, church. None of this means anything without Christ. Nothing. If you really stop and think about your life, and as you get older, you young guys remember this, and when you get older, you'll start reflecting over your younger life. You'll reflect over your life, and you'll realize one day, man, where did it all go? And you'll realize that what you've done for Christ is all that really matters, and preparing for eternity is all that really matters. And I can't understand people that are up in their 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s that have never made a decision to follow Christ. I don't understand how they can live peacefully. I guess they've just got to that place. Their hearts are so hard that nothing bothers them anymore. I've sat by the bedside of rank sinners who were dying when I worked in hospice and say, "Well, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus." They said, "No, I'm not interested in Jesus, honey. Give me another beer. I've had it done." Could you light my cigarette for me? Dying with lung cancer. Say, honey, get me another cigarette. I want to blow some smoke in this preacher's face. They didn't say that. I just made that part up. But you understand what I'm saying. They had no desire to know about Jesus and knew that they were breathing some of their last breaths. Their days on earth were numbered. They still didn't want to hear about Christ. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't sit here in this church saying, I'm 80% and thinking you're all right when you're only 80% right. You've asked the right, have the right concerns. You've asked the right person. You've asked the right question. You've received the right answer, the right information. Don't wait till it's too late eternally. Make a decision now, because there's possibly somebody here today in our church, or somebody goes to this church that is that way. They're sitting here 80% correct, but they're not totally committed to Christ. They've never really been born again, but they feel comfortable. Well, let me tell you, I don't want you to feel comfortable in this church. Huh? I want you to squirm when I preach. Not because I'm a mean person or I'm an angry person, but I want the Holy Spirit of God to deal with you and show you, reveal to you where you are at to such an extent that you cannot be comfortable until you make things right with God. And I hope you'll go home today and ponder like Mary did. And think about what was said today in both services. And make a right decision. Make a right decision. Heaven won't be the same if you're not there. It won't. The good thing about it is that we won't care. You think about it, so he's going to wipe away all tears. So although we'll be concerned, whether or not here, well, okay. I don't know how we're going to react to that stuff. I'm just kind of making it up. But really, if you think about it, if you read the Bible and you take it literally, and he wipes the tears, so we'll be there and we're going to be in heaven. And so, and we may look around, look for somebody and not see them there, but because of, it won't be callous, it would be, well, they knew. They had heard. They made the choice. And although I'm sad for them, I can't be sad. You understand? Although I'm sad for them, I can't be sad. Because I made it to heaven, I made the right choice. And they had opportunity to make the same choice, the right choice. That sounds terrible, doesn't it, the way that come out? I don't mean it to be terrible. I'm just telling you, church, you want to make the right decision now. I don't want to one day, you know, we're going to have a long time to look for you. We're going to just assume you're over in the far corner. You know what I'm saying? We're going to assume you're over there somewhere. But when we finally realize you're not there, I don't want to do that. I don't want to realize somebody's not there that I thought was going to be there. And I hope you look for me. I mean, wait a few thousand years, but look for me, okay? I'd like to see you. No, really, I'd like to see everybody that was affected by this church immediately after the rapture. Can y'all? Would y'all do? Can we? I mean, let's meet at Second and Broadway there in heaven, and I'll put a banner up, Countryside Converts. Would you? And y'all look for that sign, and let's all gather there and see who made it and who didn't. Okay. Serious guys, I want to see you. In heaven. Don't be 80% right and 100% wrong in your relationship with Christ. Let's get right, okay? Let's be right with God. All right. Father God, I bless you again today. I thank you for this congregation, for Countryside Church. Lord, we it's one of the greatest churches in America. We're not the largest, but we're a great church. And we're great because we preach and teach the Word of God, because we love you, and we serve you. We're doing everything we can to please you. So, Lord, bless our church. Bless this congregation. Help each one, Lord, to grow in you daily, to grow up a mature Christian. Lord, if there's anybody today or even this morning that doesn't know you as their Savior, that they're not where they ought to be and should be and are in danger of losing their soul, the Lord, deal with them. Holy Spirit, speak to them. Draw them. Convict them. Not to make them miserable, but to cause them to see their wretchedness, their sinfulness, their lostness, so that they'll come to the cross and receive salvation. Lord, bless this church, this congregation, each and every one. Help us, Lord, to remember the reason for this season, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. Watching over me. We bless you today in Jesus' name. Does anybody need prayer?